Hello, my name is Anne Saxon. I'm the Director of Learning Design and Quality at Education for Health. I'd like to spend the next 10 to 15 minutes with you in this podcast talking about person-centred practice and caring for ourselves and others in particular during this current pandemic. For most of you, the nature and delivery of the healthcare that you have been providing has been changed beyond all recognition, with most of you delivering your care via virtual consultations and giving online health advice. But it doesn't preclude us from having the opportunity to continue our quest for having patient-centred care. And I think at the moment in time, it's never been so important. There usually sometimes is a time in a crisis where we have a tendency to focus on the tasks to be completed. And that may be around completing data collection and compliance requests. And hopefully that we can continue to think about putting patients and our team members and ourselves at the centre of our care, in particular care delivery. So let's think back to what patient-centred care is all about. This is not a new phenomenon. It emerged over the past 20, 30 years, and it now has a sound evidence base with work of the researchers in this field, in particular McCormack, Clance and Ewing, who have written a vast amount of information around the research that's been carried out around patient-centred care and patient-centred practice. Person-centeredness is a term that is becoming increasingly familiar globally, and the World Health Organization stated this in some of their objectives back in 2015. So we know that it is an important factor that has really impacted in the way that we deliver care at the moment. So how can we continue to think about putting the person at the centre? The Picker Institute recently, as close as 2020, stated that it's very tempting to argue that the proper response to a crisis should be to pare back services to their most fundamental elements. But what they go on to say is that every care episode and every treatment is at its most basic and personal interaction. And even under the greatest stress, we should strive to keep patients at the centre of the service. And if you follow on with this podcast and look at the fact sheet, I've actually included some references there that you can go and have a look at this. So if we want to think about how we might continue to work in a person-centred way, let's think about some of the things that we might need to consider. Firstly, let's think about the principles in terms of values and beliefs of the patients that we're caring for, and also their family and carers, and also our own values and beliefs and how we approach our care in terms of what matters to us, but also what matters to the person at this particular time. We need to consider the influence of language, how we might speak to a patient, how their communication is received, and how likewise they may be responding. We may at a time, in particular during pandemic, find that patients may become increasingly frustrated, angry, and it's to go back and to think about what's the influence of that and how is this impacted on that particular person. We need to consider care and compassion. We may all be working very virtually, telephone triage. It's not the same as being able to see that person. Video conference calling can be helpful, but it doesn't surpass when you have a person in the room with you and you can understand what that care and compassion is about. But we can do this virtually. We can do this in our telephone conversations, in our response to patients, in our listening skills. We can think about those areas of impact. It's also important to consider dignity and respect. And again, this can be in terms of how we're sharing information, how we're coordinating care with people, but also the dignity and respect of carers and relatives, in particular, if they're faced with difficult decisions around end of life care. So it's really important that we maintain those and think about the principles of good dignity and respect. It's really important in person-centred practice to think about the coordination and integration of care, and a lot of our work over the past few months has been around the use of telephone and email and letter correspondence. And quite often it's important to just to go back to understand what does the patient and carers understand from how their care is being coordinated, how can we involve them in the decisions that we're making about their care. And the last point really to consider in terms of patients and carers is about the availability of information and how we might educate people. There is a vast amount of information available, daily news bulletins, updates on social media, and it's important that we're able to share with patients information that's credible, evidence-based and factually correct. But it's also trying to help to dispel some of the myths that patients might have, in particular around the current pandemic. It may be very important to think about at this current time the situation of how working with your colleagues may have changed and the importance of putting the person at the centre in the care conversation, not only the patients but your colleagues, yourself, in terms of that team working. And I just want to probably go through with you just a few things for you to consider. Now, I would think about all of the above things that I spoke to you that I've just mentioned about patients and apply those to your colleagues and team members. Think about if you've had to change some of your responsibilities, you may be working with a new team. How easy is it to express your own values and beliefs? And what are the values and beliefs of your team members? How prepared are staff for care delivery? So have you had opportunities for some updating, some virtual online learning? But think about new members of staff that may be joining you and think about their preparation, in particular over the coming weeks where we know lots of you are out being part of the mass vaccination programmes. It's important to think about the skill mix and how people might have to think about developing new skills rapidly. And again, it's thinking about the way that that's delivered, how you might be supportive of each other, and how you might take time to listen and talk through where people may have some concerns about having to develop new skills. But it's an important aspect to think about the team. Think about the leadership of the team, and I think there will certainly be some heroes emerging through teamwork and team spirit where people have gone the extra mile, but where there is authentic leadership, that people are concerned about the person delivering the care, but also team members and how you're being supported. It's important to think about planning care, also including any risks, that you're able to have opportunities to talk about and the quality assurance processes that you might need to be going through. During things like a pandemic, it's also helpful that sometimes you may be unlocking the person-centred potential in everyone, that actually people do stop and think about what does this mean for the patient, what does this mean for the relative. It may be that you have to slightly change something in line with a policy to meet the requirements of somebody, but actually demonstrating that you are thinking about that person at the centre. We mustn't forget a culture of kindness, and that's to ourselves, to each other, and in particular where things get a bit tough, but think about that culture of kindness. And it doesn't mean having a hug in a corner, it can be around thinking about the act of kindness, listening, having time for reflection and mindfulness are all things that can be really helpful towards building that culture of kindness. One of the things to consider, in particular over the coming weeks where services will be directed towards things around the vaccination programme, is where there is some ability to have shared decision making, and in particular when dealing with difficult situations. And that's to include the voice of the patients, carers and service users, but also to have some opportunities to talk about that in your team and to collaborate on shared decision making. It can be really helpful at the end of a shift to have some time to talk to somebody about what decisions were made today and how we went about making those. If you are interested in reading further, following on from just my brief thoughts and ideas around person-centred practice, there are some really useful tools on the PICA organisation, healthorg.uk, and also the work that's been published by Professor Brenda McCormack and Professor Jan Dewing, who's written a lot around person-centred practice. So I just want to finish off here by thinking about going back to my opening statements around we're in this together. So think about that person-centred practice and person-centred culture. It isn't just about putting the patient at the centre. It may be that you have to think about yourself and your colleagues and how you might continue with that person-centred practice alongside trying to give excellent care to your patients. So I hope you've found my thoughts and ideas helpful and that you'll continue to have a look at the fact sheet, but also think about taking some time out for yourself that you can think and reflect and be mindful. So thank you for listening.